We love the scriptures. We know that you cannot do life your own way. If you don't do it God's way, yes, and die moeilikheid. And Christians are paying the price. Marriages, our children are paying the price for us doing it my way. You see, I would sing.
Frank Sinatra.
He would know, you see. I'm sitting with Flip and Amava. How long have we known one another? How many years? I mean, 1996, I started at Maranatha, and you were already there, weren't you?
No, you were first.
Well, was I first?
Yeah.
Hi. So in the music industry, all of those, but you didn't start your love for music at Maranatha. You've always been passionate about music. You were also at Radio Pulpit.
Yep.
Okay. Before I give the biography, let's introduce you to someone who's never met Flip van Amava before. Who are you?
These days I'm wondering, Janine.
You're not so sure.
I would say I'm what I put on my website as the tagline, I'm a follower of Jesus. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, I've done lots of things in my life, but at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. You grow older, and all of a sudden you realize that all the things you've been chasing doesn't have much value, and they doesn't satisfy. And you do lots of things. I'm a happily married man. No dogs at the moment. I take care of 3 koi's and all the birds in the surroundings by feeding them. I sell spices, which I love.
Which I buy. Just for the record, they're really good.
and I'm working on this website we're going to talk about, which is about the Bible, which is like... apart from Jesus, obviously, the love of my life. Reading it, understanding it, figuring out where it came from, what it's trying to say to us. And trying to help people to understand that the Bible is not this very difficult book. And that it can actually be exciting to read the Bible, to study the Bible. So
yeah. It's got a story. There's a background to it that gives it...
It's got a story. People don't understand it. That's part of what I'm trying to do. Just telling them what it is, what it does, what it isn't.
We do camps as well, because I would totally agree with you. Without this book, we are lost. It's like insider trading. It's happening inside
yes,
scoop
absolutely.
On the Lord's way of life, in his business, in his way of doing things. But why the passion for the Bible? When did you really understand the significance of this book? And why?
Look, I grew up in a Christian home. I saw my dad. He was working. The earliest I can remember, he was working on the railways as a driver. And they had this big thing, like a toolbox almost, that we have today. But that was his box that he took to work on the train, because it was a day or two. I don't know how long he was away from home, obviously, from the R to Kimberley and back. But there was a special place for his little New Testament.
Oh, wow.
And just about every verse in it was underlined. And he knew parts of it off by heart. And when he prayed, he would pray scripture and so on. So I grew up with the Bible. And then when I studied, and after that, I don't know how to describe it. It's just like something got into me, especially as I studied and I started looking at the Bible and how it got to us and what it's all about, and discovering, you know, that the Bible is not a book full of myths, stories. It's reality, it's history. There's lots of people who would disagree with me, but if you go to archaeology and history and what we have, where we have facts.
Yes.
That agrees with the Bible.
Facts outside the Bible
facts
and outside Christianity.
I mean, Abraham, people think he was this nomad. He didn't know anything. Ur, where he came from, they had running water. They had sanitation. There was a developed city that we know today, that it was one of the big cities of the world at that stage, or of the known world. That gives us a different view on Abraham. This is not, you know, a shepherd that's being called. This is a guy who's living in a metropolitan area. And God says, leave everything behind and follow me. And he says, yes, let's go.
And he doesn't tell him where he's going.
And eventually this man, coming from this awesome, wonderful city, is living in tents as basically as a nomad.
Mm.
And he's happy about it. Just one thing, and there's so many things. I remember, we're a bit off track, but okay. Some years ago, there was this leading atheist in the world who suddenly discovered that people were saying that Nazareth didn't exist in the time of Jesus. So he wrote this massive opinion piece in one of the biggest newspapers in America about this, and in it he says, among other things, this is the final nail in the coffin of Christianity. Okay, so a few years later, the Antiquities Authority of Israel announced that they are excavating Nazareth from the time of Jesus. And the point is, they had a saying in those days, anything good comes from Nazareth.
Yes.
What they find there, you can understand it. It was the poorest of the poor living there. It was just a place where nobody wanted to live. That's why it had, you know, can anything good come from Nazareth? It's like we make jokes of some areas here in South Africa.
Even in Pretoria, yeah.
Even in Pretoria. Something like that. So, as far as I know, the atheist never said, I'm sorry, or okay, I was wrong. But yeah, every time where there's facts, people hear something and they go crazy. An opinion is not a fact.
Yeah.
And where there are facts, you find out that, yeah, the Bible is history. Nahum the prophet, even before the Babylonians came and the Medes and the Persians, he predicted the color of their uniforms, which was never used before that time.
Yeah. And Cyrus.
And when he came, lo and behold, that's what they were wearing.
Yeah.
That color. Cyrus. So the easiest way around it is to say that it's actually not prophecy. It was written after the time. And then we get earlier and earlier and earlier evidence that it was written before the time.
That must have been very interesting for you, because, I mean, that's how I've known you all of these years. You are an intellectual. You like information. It fascinates you. And you wouldn't be lying to yourself to sort of convince yourself that in order for the Bible to be true, I have to make the information at my disposal prove it so that I can have peace in my heart. Mm. You need actual information to convince a person like you that what I'm believing is the actual truth. It must have been fascinating to bit by bit to uncover more and more.
It was. There's so much we can talk about, Janine. But in the end, like what you said, you know, people don't know the scriptures and so on. The important thing is just to read what's there. And that is where I think we as Christians miss the boat. We know this little bit. We know about Jesus blessing the kids, and we know about Elijah with the prophets and the crows and the things.
We know the stories and the promises.
We know the stories and the promises, but there's so much more. And ask anybody where the story of this and that fits in, and it's kind of like, what do you mean? Where does it fit in? There's a whole flow of history that we miss because of two things. We don't know what the Bible is, and secondly, we don't read it the way I think it should be read. And
yeah,
that is like you read any. Imagine I go to a bookstore today and I buy this wonderful book. Never mind if it's fiction or non-fiction or what. I go home and I'm so excited and I read chapter 21. Wow, this is awesome. And then I read chapter 3. And now I don't understand, have a clue what's going on from 21 to 3. And I thought, let's try 49. And I read the last part of it, and I'm totally confused.
No. You take that great book, and you take it and make, and you throw it open at a page.
Yeah. But you sit with this book. You do that with any other book, and people will say there's something wrong with
you. Yeah. But
you read a book from the beginning to the end.
Yeah.
And once we start doing that with the Bible, I'm not saying in place of your study and all things, but if your Bible reading, you read it like it was written. You start from the beginning and you see how history unfolds and how things happen and how one prophecy there is being fulfilled here.
Yes.
And you see the life of Jesus. I remember when I was young, one of our greatest fears as young Christians was in Matthew, you know, about the sin against the Holy Spirit. Mm. And nobody could tell us what it was. And, you know, did we do it or didn't we do it? And then when I started reading in sequence, and somebody actually pointed me to it, if you read the whole of Matthew up to that point, it's not so difficult to understand. If you look at Jesus and his interactions with the Pharisees and the scribes and what they were saying, they got from just not liking him to where they said that what he was doing, he's doing it by the devil himself,
yes,
through Satan. Mm-hmm. And that's when Jesus said, the sin against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. You can say against me what you want, but the sin against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. The only thing they were doing was saying that what he's doing, and we know he was doing it through the Spirit, was being done through the devil. And that is what he was talking about, the context.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. You start off, your page about the Bible starts with an introduction that says, what is the Bible? You said it makes a difference if you know exactly what this book is in your hand. So try and explain to me in layman's terms now. What is
this? Let me just tell people not to get too excited too soon, because a lot of what I'm planning to do is not yet there on the website.
This is a teaser.
This is a teaser, and I'm working on it. I basically joined one of these newer web social media sites somewhere last year. Mm. You know, one of the newer ones that sort of promises that it's better and there's not so much trolling and stuff. And it is, yes. And one thing that I realized as I was reading is the amount of nonsense about Christianity and the Bible.
Yes.
Not just from people who doesn't know it, from Christians.
Yeah.
Saying things that you don't have a biblical, nothing to stand on.
And then there's 200 people saying, amen, amen, amen.
Yes. Yes. And then the poor guy who says, where on earth do you get that, gets hammered.
Yes.
On the other side, of course, there's non-Christians getting into the Bible and into Christianity, and then Christians respond sometimes very negatively and harshly, and most of the time without facts. Mm. And so I thought, well, I spend a lot of time on this. Some years ago, I did a volunteer Bible class at a school here in Pretoria, and those kids got me going. Because we had a period, it was called about the Bible. Not about Christianity or something, but about the Bible. So they had lots of questions, obviously, about Christianity and other faiths. But I had to get things together and, you know, and have an answer to them next time. Because the first time I said to them, you ask me anything you want to, and I'll go and try and find an answer for you. And if I can't find an answer, I'll tell you. And they asked anything they wanted.
Yeah, the young people ask good questions.
Boy,
yeah.
Oh boy. But I learned a lot, and they learned a lot, I think. And so when I saw this on social media, I thought, I'm not going to get involved in a discussion and disagreements and fights and stuff. Mm. Let's put, CCM was going for a long time already, just with all the things I write on there for whoever wants to use it. And I thought, let's put it in there, and people can use it. Mm. It's there for anybody who finds it or who knows about it. And so I started working, and the first chapter of what is supposed to be 10 chapters is up. It's a bit more difficult to convert from what you had for a class into a sort of standalone study on a certain piece of it. But yes, it's going. The first one is about what the Bible is.
So give me the summary. Tell, what is that Bible I've got in my hands? And you've got 2 minutes.
I have to read it to you from my site. I try to make my own definition. It says, the Bible is a selective written record communicating the intent, origin, history, and development of the relationship between God and humanity. In short, it's a record of the relationship between God and humanity.
Yes.
That's the whole theme of the Bible, and that's what's in there.
I love how the Old Testament is him saying, this is holiness, this is who I am, and then Israel lived it. And this is how you find out we can't get there. And yeah. Then the whole New Testament is Jesus saying, this is my heart, this is how I think. And then the church lived it, and how we can learn from them, get the principles. It's not only a you do this with a list of that. It's people living it out, living the consequences, living this, the blessing of it. So, but you also describe how the Bible gets together, how it happened, how it was put together, all of that. And then thematically, you put it out as a, these are the themes that are covered in the Bible. So it's a very great basic, just a reading piece that puts in your mind, this is the book that I have in my hands. Mm. What's the plan with this? Now, if people have read this, just the first page, what do you want to, them to get to understand about the Bible?
That whole definition, that's what I'm working on, the whole thing. Mm. In other words, what does it mean that it's a written record? What does it mean that it's selective? What even does it mean that it's a record? What does it say about God, about humanity, about the relationship, about the origin of the relationship, about the purpose of the relationship?
Also how authentic it is.
Well, authentic it is. That's basically it.
Right, people. Can I just say, I love how you use the prophecies as well. Because if there's something that authenticates the Bible, it's this. Just this morning, I'm just thinking, because we're reading in our reading plan at the moment in Matthew 27, is there where Judas got paid specifically 30 pieces of silver, and that it specifically paid for the potter's field, mm-hmm. was prophesied. This ridiculous, weird little bit of information was specifically prophesied hundreds of years before that. When you read that thing, you think to yourself, how can you wonder? How can you even wonder? And that if people actually believed that the Bible is the final word of God, we wouldn't be taking it as a strong suggestion. We'd be living by it. Mm. We would.
Absolutely.
Okay, so this is the first. We go to, where do people go to see this article?
CCM.co.za, as I always say, because people get confused. It's like Charlie Mike.
Christian contemporary music.
That was what the site started out as.
Yeah.
Now it's just CCM.
Yes.
But the M is important. If you end on an MN like in November, you're on a totally different site.
Okay. CCMMike.co.za. And then? Is there like a link? Is there something?
It's a whole thing. You pop
up there.
Oh, it
says Bible 101.
Well, you'll end up on the front page and you'll see there all the different sections. The one about the background to the Bible, Bible 101. And then there's one Bible reading. That is what you're doing. But
a reading plan.
A reading plan, but a simple one that you can do on your own no matter where you are in the world. The basic idea is you start reading and you never stop. You read a chapter a day and you just work through.
Okay, you know what? I need a reading plan for next year. We're just finishing a two-year reading plan at the moment this year, and then maybe next year we can do yours. CCM.co.za, our time is up. We haven't even covered half of what we wanted to cover. The time is up. We're going to get you some music. Jacksonville, local people, good God, they enjoyed making this music a lot. But go to CCM.co.za, click on Bible 101 or any of the ones that fascinate you, and get into the Bible.